go to Exodus 19 if you have your scriptures with you. I just want to cover just a few scriptures about this time. And it's really about us being a chosen race, a royal priesthood. We'll read that in Peter in just a moment. Because when we do this little last presentation, we're betrothed to an awesome king. Amen. And Yeshua came and he did his part. And so now the bride, it's up to us to do our part. It's up to us to make ourselves ready. It's up to us to go and do everything that we know to do through his word. He gives us his word for a reason. He doesn't give us his word to tell us that there's some good things in history that we need to know. You know, he doesn't give us his word because these are not 10 commandments, but 10 suggestions. He doesn't give us ideas of things that would be just really pretty awesome if you would just do these things and see how it works out. But he gives us commandments, he gives us statutes, he gives us judgments. He gives us his word to prepare us for our bridegroom. We are here making ourselves ready for him on that day. On that day, whenever we're going to be married into this, into the kingdom, the world to come, to where we don't bleed anymore, we don't cry anymore, we're just happy all the time. Amen. You know, serving us, serving a king. So, with that, in verse 1 and 19, it says this, on the third Rosh Chodesh, on the first of the month, after the people of Israel had gone out of the land of Egypt, on that day they came into the wilderness of Sinai. They set out from Rephidim and they came to the wilderness of Sinai and they encamped in the wilderness. I looked up that word encamp. That word encamp has a meaning and it says they behaved as one. That's the hardest thing about getting the bride is for us to behave as one. For us to have the same mindset. We talked a little bit about yesterday. We have the Holy Spirit. He gives us gifts. We have services, we have activities. We didn't go through the scriptures of all of it, but when you read 1 Corinthians 12, you will see that, and we will probably still touch that. Because it's so important that as a body, we move as one, we think as one, and we're a long way from that. I think here in our community, we're getting better and better. Every year, every cycle, we understand the importance of this encampment, this importance of oneness. This importance about being one loaf of bread. All of us in our portion, each little grain of wheat, doing our part to make the whole. Because that's what it takes. It takes so much wheat, it takes so much grinding, and it does take that leavening that widow in that parable put in there to spread. And it's for us to be able to spread this gospel. But we spread this gospel not just by what we say, mostly by what we do. We read a scripture in Hebrews, not to be hearers only, but be doers of his word. The very word is a mirror that we look into to see if we measure up. I don't measure up against you, and you don't measure up against me. Hallelujah. Amen. But we measure up against his word because his word will show us if we have imperfections. If you look at me as a mirror, you're going to see my imperfections, and you're going to think they're yours. I have my own that I'm cleaning up. We all have our own that he's getting rid of. He's making us smooth stones. But these smooth stones, he's building us to where we will be a temple. We are that temple of the Holy Spirit. So this word here, they encamped on that day, if you can envision it, even the mixed multitude that was in the wilderness, they were in one mind and one accord. I'm not going to read this, but in Acts, they were sort of like what? In one mind and one accord. Being in one mind and one accord is very, very important. You can't have your own theology. We can't have what we're going to go out and we just do our own thing. It doesn't work that way. We have to be in one mind and one accord. Taking the word for what it says and following it. Now, will we have ideas and understandings of things that we may understand it might to say? We do that. I understand that. That's why we midrash, spiritual boxing. We go through what we believe it to be, and we have different understandings of that sometimes. But it's important that we encamp as one in this place. And it says, there Israel encamped before the mountain. While Moses went up to Elohim, Yahweh called to him out of the mountain, saying, Thus you shall say to the house of Jacob, and tell the people of Israel, You yourself have seen what I did to the Egyptians, and how I bore them on eagle's wings, and I brought them to myself. Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be my treasured possession. Segulah, my treasured possession among all the peoples, for all of the earth is mine. There's other scriptures that said he didn't choose Israel because they were so great. He didn't choose them because they were strong. He didn't choose them because they were 9 foot tall. He chose them because of a promise that he made to Abraham. And he chose these people to be a light to the nations. He's chosen us also because we're part of Israel. We're grafted into Israel. We're part of that tree. And the thing about it is we are to be that light also to the nations. Because we are, and we have to, I think sometimes we don't feel like we are, but we're his treasured possessions. Not because I said so, because his word says so. His words say that we're his treasured possessions. So we need to act like that. In verse 6 it says, And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests, a holy nation. These are the words that you shall speak to the people of Israel. Now let's go to 1 Peter 2:9 and 9 and 10. If you just want to, I can just read it if you don't want to go there, but just two of these scriptures. It says, and Peter understood exactly what Moses was going through in chapter 19. He knew about the foot of man. He knew what was happening. He understood whenever the Holy Spirit fell, the Ruach fell that day, he understood exactly what was happening here at this encampment. Because they were there in one mind and in one accord in the upper room. It says, But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. Wonder where he got that from. It's almost word for word. A people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him, and that's what our job is to proclaim that he's excellent. Not that I'm excellent, but that he's excellent. And all the things that he has is excellent. Who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. That's what he's done. He has chosen us. He's made us a royal priesthood. He's made us a holy nation. We are to be a light into the world. He tells us not to put that light under a bushel, but that we're supposed to let Yeshua shine bright through us. What did we say yesterday? Whenever we're serving him or serving Baal, don't hesitate. When we have the opportunity to serve him, don't hesitate. That's what he's telling us. Know who our king is and know who is our Lord. Because I can tell you this, on that day, when I'm standing before the judge and Yeshua is my advocate, and then he turns around and calls my name, I don't want him to hesitate to speak for me. I don't want him to ponder. You see what I'm saying? I want him to be able to say, I've got this one covered. My blood, I've got this one covered. There, he is not guilty. I took all the stuff that he's done, I've got him covered. I need, the moment the judge speaks, I need my advocate to speak. I don't need him to hesitate. And believe me, he won't hesitate. He's there. So guys, we don't need to hesitate as his bride. Amen? Verse 10, it says this. Once you were not a people. Guys, once we were not a people. But now we are Elohim's people. Once you had not received mercy. But now you have received mercy. That's what Shavuot's about, guys. We have received the mercy. We've gone from Passover. We're at Shavuot. Now we will end up on a journey after today. Going to Sukkot. And it'll probably get here probably faster than Passover in these 50 days because everything is flying by now. I can definitely tell, and this is not prophetic, but I can tell you in my life, the reason why I think we're in the end of days is because things is flying. I mean, days used to be days and weeks used to be weeks. But it seems like months or days now. It seems like it's just, here we are trying to plan this, and we're already in another season. Time is flying by for us. I'm going to finish up with this one, and then we're going to do a presentation. In Hosea 2, if y'all would turn there. This is a beautiful promise because Hosea 1 didn't start off too good. If you ever read the book of Hosea. But Hosea, in chapter 2, verse 19, he says this. He says, I will betroth you to me for how long? Forever. Guys, that means that he's willing for this work that's going on with the body of Messiah, because he knows that this work is going to take place, and he knows he's going to get a beautiful bride. But what we need to do is not fight the process. We need to get rid of this flesh. We have, look, whenever me and you, whenever we accepted Yeshua as our personal Savior, do you know what me and you said? Whatever he says, we will do. That's what we said. No doubt, no different, but the people back in Exodus, they said, hold it. Moses, you go. In other words, the difference was, you go, you give us our orders, and we will do it. Did they do it? Absolutely not. Why was it hard for them to do it? Because they didn't have a personal relationship. They had to go through a mediator to go. What we did, whenever the Holy Spirit fell with Yeshua, I mean, how many? We're talking 3,000, 5,000. We're talking about the gospel spreading during this period of just 1 year here. We're talking tens of thousands of people professing that Yeshua is King, that he is the Messiah. Not was, but he is the Messiah, and he was raised, and he has poured out his spirit among us. To where, beautiful story, we're talking about Cornelius. Even the Roman knew. The Romans sitting here, and the Romans knew. At the foot of that cross that day, that torture stake that day, even that Roman said, surely, this is the Son of Elohim. Did he get that from some Torah teaching? Absolutely not. But it was revealed to him because he was a witness. He witnessed the power of Elohim that happened right there. Thing about it is salvation comes into us, but this is what most the times I'm afraid that churchianity has said. Whatever you say, we will think about it. If it fits what we can do, and if it doesn't cramp what I'm doing, if it doesn't change my lifestyle too much, because we're going to make a bargain. I want fire insurance. I don't want to go to hell. But I just want a good policy. So let's negotiate the insurance policy that you have. Guys, there's no negotiation, is there, Terry? There's only one policy. And you're holding the policy in your hand. Amen? And the policy's written. And when you go in there, and you know what? The beautiful thing is the price has been paid. You don't have to do a monthly note or a yearly note. That price has been paid. But yet we have to do our part. We have to walk out. We have to live the policy. Amen. We got to live this policy. Because he has betrothed us to him forever. It's a promise. He said, I will betroth you to me in righteousness and in justice. That's in the policy. In steadfast love and in mercy. He is a righteous, justice Elohim. He is steadfast in his love. He never wavers in his love for us. And he gives us mercy. That's an awesome husband. I will betroth you to me in faithfulness. And you shall know. You shall have an intimate relationship with Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh. The I am of I am. We have a personal relationship. We're intimate with him. Where they said, Moses, you go to him. We said, no, we want to go. We want to come up that mountain. And in that day, I will answer, declares Yahweh, Yehovah. He says, I will answer the heavens, and they shall answer the earth. And the earth shall answer the grain, the wine, and the oil. Isn't it awesome that even the very nature responds? The very wheat that comes up responds. The very oil, the very trees, everything that's needed. Oil's needed for the lampstand. The olives, they respond. They respond because they have a job to do. The earth even, the wind still knows his name. Whenever Yeshua, when they had that tempest, and he says, "Wind, be still." The wind knew his name. Is that not powerful? The elements of the earth, everything, creation is groaning for us. For the manifestations of the sons of Elohim. Creation is groaning for us to get our act together. Not to just let pride things go by and let a parade go like nothing. It's creation is groaning for us to take our place. The earth is doing what it does. It gives forth fruit. The heavens does what it does. It gives forth rain in the earth. And here we are just waddling through like we don't understand what's happening in the times and the seasons. But he's telling us, and he's getting us better, times and seasons pass over. The counting of the Omer, unleavened bread, Shavuot, all the way till we get into Sukkot, the Feast of Trumpets. All of these Yom Kippur, everything is telling us what's happening and what's going to happen when this fruit comes up out of the earth. We need to get our act together is what he's saying. And they shall answer Jezreel by his feast. I will sow her for myself in the land. And he has. And I will have mercy on no mercy. And I will say to not my people, you are my people. And he will say, you are my Elohim. And guys, that's what this is about in this season. Every feast is about us getting our act together to where we can be the righteous, spotless bride. Look, I know we can't be spotless in our own self. That's what he come to do. He come to remove. It said, even though what? It said, our sins were what? As scarlet. But he made us what? White as snow. He's done the job. But we have to do our part. We have to get in this word. This is why it's so important today that you're at Shavuot. Now, let me just say this. All over the world, there's people that's celebrating feasts. And they may celebrate them a little different because of the understanding that people have. But my heart is glad because they're celebrating. Amen, they're celebrating. Because I know there's going to come a time when Yeshua is sitting in the new heavens and the new earth and the new Jerusalem. And nobody's going to argue with him. Amen, because he's going to call the day and we're going to be there. But I am so thankful that you're here where we are now with the revelation that we have. That we're celebrating our King. We're honoring Him. Because He knows you're here. Now, I want to say this. That really blessed me. We've had speakers here before. And sometimes with us, because we celebrate Shavuot on the 6th of Sivan. Because of the way we count. Okay? Sometimes it may be on a Wednesday or Thursday or whatever. And we've had speakers come here on a Shavuot. And they were amazed that the people were here. Because they're saying that most people don't take off work. If it fell on a Sunday every time, you know, on the first day every time when nobody's working, they would come. But they would see people making a point to say, you know what, this is important. This is important because, guys, this is important. This is our life. We need to be honoring Him at His appointed times and seasons, whenever that happens to be. That's the most important thing for us in our life because He calls the shots. Amen.